Psalm 107, Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and a dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh a hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which they may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And we do ask the Lord's blessing upon his word this day. Amen. This morning and this evening's with God's help, we're going to look at this psalm. A psalm, it doesn't tell us who it's been written by. But the theme of this psalm is God's providential dealings with mankind. And therefore, there's lessons for all of us from this psalm. And as you read this psalm, you can see reminders of God's dealings with his people, with the people of Israel. You can see that reference to wandering in the wilderness. And then the latter part of this psalm, from verse 33 onwards, you can see a reference to God's dealing with nations. The first part dealing perhaps with individuals, and this latter part dealing with nations. Lessons for each and every one of us here today. For those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for those that are wise and have understanding and understand the loving kindness of God, but also for those with no belief. This psalm will help each one of us, as it were, to make sense of those trials and tribulations in our life. But this morning, I want to concentrate on three verses. Well, actually, it would be six verses. And the three verses, though, are verses 1 and 2. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And then verse 8. O that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that verse is repeated, verse 8 is repeated throughout the psalm, at verse 15, at verse 21, and verse 31 as well. A repetition. We do well to take note of that. That repetition. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. A verse that is addressed generally to men. Whatever you're standing before the Lord this day, it's the desire of the psalmist, it's the command of the psalmist, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. But we, being God's people, need to take especial heed to these verses, especially as they're being repeated three times. And the psalm starts off with, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And if there's one set of people that should be giving thanks, that should be praising the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works, it's the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If any people should be praising the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works, it should be those that profess the name of Christ. It should be those that have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We can give thanks for so many reasons. We can give thanks because we are the redeemed, because we have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We have been snatched from Satan, from the jaws of hell. We're thankful because of our redemption. We know of that great plan of redemption. We've seen how that plan of redemption was fulfilled in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. How that Christ became man, took upon himself human flesh in order that his blood might be shed in order to redeem a people, that he might die upon the cross, that he might descend into hell and rise again on the third day and continue to make intercession. And so of all the people, the redeemed of the Lord have got every reason for giving thanks, for praising the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. What that redemption means to us, our salvation, redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And as you read through the psalm, you get a hint of what we've been redeemed from, that we have been in chains. In verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. That's a picture of the redemption that has been obtained for us, that we were a people in darkness, in the shadow of death, that we were bound by those chains of Satan. We were bound in our wickedness, in our sins. But the Lord has redeemed us. And so we should be a people that give thanks, that praise the Lord. But thanks and praise is not just the work of the redeemed. It should also be upon the lips of all men. And that's the psalmist's desire. Notice that word, oh, that gives that expression, that emphasis. It's his desire, his heart's desire, that men everywhere would praise the Lord. Is it our heart's desire that men would praise the Lord? Men don't, and we'll consider these reasons in a few moments. But what's the meaning of praise? The definition is the action or fact of praising the worth or excellence of a person, the expression or admiration and ascribing of glory. And we have numerous reasons given to us for praising the Lord. This psalm, we will concentrate on those, the reasons to praise the Lord. Alas, the world won't, but we have the reasons. And the reasons given to us, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And verse 8 again, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And then, for his mercy endureth forever, and his wonderful works. Sufficient reason to praise the Lord. If we had no other reasons, then these are enough. And that's the desire of the psalmist. Again, that word, oh, giving the emphasis, that we would give thanks. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. That is the psalmist's desire. That should be our desire, and that should be our earnest desire, not only for ourselves, but for all men everywhere. And so the psalmist also gives us this, a reminder that sometimes we need stirring up, don't we? We can be slothful, we can feel a bit dull, a bit unthankful. But the psalmist reminds us, he tries to stir us up by oh, and repeating it three times through this psalm. Surely we need to take heed, and we need to bear this word in mind every morning when we wake up. Oh, that we would give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy. And it's also that desire and prayer that should be upon our lips, that men indeed would praise the Lord. Think of the difference it would make if men did praise the Lord. They would praise the Lord because their eyes had been opened to see that he was worthy and he alone was worthy of praise. And the way that it will come about for those to praise the Lord, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's our responsibility to tell others that the Lord is to be praised, that the Lord is worthy of praise, because the world is in darkness. The world doesn't know. We're to tell, we're to confess with our lips to those round about what the Lord has done. We're to do it whenever, wherever we have that opportunity, in the home, in the workplace, people we meet. In verse 32 of the psalm, it says, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. That follows on from that phrase, oh, that men would praise the Lord. We're to exalt him, the Lord that is, in the congregation. It doesn't just mean the church. Wherever people meet, do we praise and give thanks to the Lord? do we praise him in the assembly of the elders? That's before those that are in power and authority. Even among those that have rule over us, the magistrates, we are to praise the Lord and give thanks at whatever opportunity. If we tell people, if the redeemed of the Lord say so, it will encourage others to praise and give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. The psalmist in Psalm 119 says, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Oh, that that would be our testimony and our witness, that we would give a testimony to the goodness of God before men, before kings, and not be ashamed. So often we are worried about what we'll say, how we should speak, how our words will be received. But we can take comfort from those words that Christ gives in Matthew. I know he's talking about coming before people that are going to judge, but the same principle applies. He says, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought or heed how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Let us be bold and take heart from those promises that the Lord will be with us. If we have that desire to say what the Lord has done, whether it's before the congregation, before our workmates, before our neighbours, before those that have authority amongst us, let us be bold, let us be brave, and don't let us be ashamed, because the Lord is good and all that he has done. And so that, oh, that the men would praise the Lord, is it is our desire? Is it our practice? Is it our prayer? It should be our prayer every morning to give thanks for his goodness, for his mercy. It should be our prayer at the end of the day. We can look back over the day and thank the Lord for his goodness, for those many blessings of the day. We can thank the Lord again for his mercy. As I said, we'll consider the reasons why we should give thanks unto the Lord. We'll consider some of the reasons why we don't give thanks. But the first reason that we should give thanks, it's not the first line of our psalm. It said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. It's that second reason, for his mercy endureth forever. Mercy means that forbearance, that compassion shown by one person to is in his power, given to that person that has no claim to receive the kindness. And that's the standing of every man and woman before the Lord. We can do no other than sue for mercy. The Lord who is almighty, the Lord who is all powerful, the Lord who is righteous, the Lord who is good. We cannot come before him and claim anything. We come before the thrice holy God as sinners, as men deserving of nothing. We can only plead for mercy. And because of God's mercy, that's why we're alive. That's why we're able to plead for mercy. Because of God's mercy, that's why we can give thanks. That's why we can praise him. So we read in Lamentations, it is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And the Lord's mercy enables us to come before him, to seek his face, to plead for mercy, but also because the Lord has been merciful to us, we should do no other than give him thanks for his goodness, his mercy flowing out of the Lord's goodness to men. And so for every one of us, whether we believe or not, we have every reason to give thanks unto the Lord, because the Lord has been merciful unto us. The men and women that walk by this morning, they ignore the Lord's mercy, but they should be thankful because of his mercy, they're not consumed. And every one of us has experienced, and indeed is experiencing, the Lord's mercy. It's because of his mercy that we're present today. And so one reason, above all, to give thanks, it's of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. And so for no other reason, let us thank the Lord every day for his mercy, as we reminded ourselves, they're new every morning. At the end of the day, we can thank the Lord that he has been merciful to us, a sinner. We are thankful to the Lord for his goodness towards us, as the Apostle Paul reminds those Athenians, for in him we live and move and have our being. The Lord is our creator. The Lord has granted us life. The Lord sustains us and keeps us. We move and have our being. It is all because of the Lord's mercy and the Lord's goodness towards us. Each one of us present today can be thankful for life. We can be thankful that we have sufficient food, that we have clothing, and indeed many other blessings. The goodness of the Lord to him. And again, Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, by him all things consist, not only us, but the rest of the world that we live in, the rest of the world that we enjoy. Everything consists because the Lord sustains it, the Lord keeps it, the Lord preserves it. As Job says, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. And so we're to praise and give thanks to the Lord for his goodness in those so many practical ways, in all those things that we enjoy, the last few weeks, the birds singing in the morning, the goodness of God to men, the goodness of having the world round about us. It's all because the Lord sustains and keeps us. Another reason to acknowledge the goodness of the Lord. We've seen the mercy, the goodness in so many ways, but let us never presume upon the mercy of the Lord, because there is a coming day of judgment. There will be a day when there will be no more breath to praise the Lord. We all know it. The world might deny it, but there will be a day when we won't have the breath to praise the Lord. And so we're not to presume upon the mercy of the Lord. We're to work upon it, to avail ourselves of the time that the Lord has given us. When Moses had God go before him, God says, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The mercy of God is at his prerogative. We cannot demand it. We cannot depend on it, because we depend on God being merciful for us. And there is a day when that mercy will cease. So let each one of us avail ourselves of the opportunity. We have life, move and being. And so let us use the time to find out more of the Lord, to use the time to give thanks, to praise the Lord for his mercy. As we've already said, the redeemed of the Lord are the one that should say so. Psalmist in Psalm 103 says, for as the heaven is high above, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Do we fear him? If we fear the Lord, we will know his mercy, his great mercy. And then writing in Titus, we read, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. we have that description of ourselves: disobedient, foolish, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice. But God in his mercy called us. And so the redeemed of the Lord, because the Lord has been merciful to us, because he has saved us, we have been washed by the blood of Christ and regenerated by the renewing of the Holy Spirit, we should be a people that are praising and thanking the Lord. And so we, of all people, can say, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For we have experienced his goodness in so many ways. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And so we've seen some of the aspects of the Lord's goodness towards all men, and especially his goodness, though, to the redeemed. And that God's mercy, the mercy of God, is just a demonstration of his goodness to men. And men should praise the Lord. Everyone that has breath should praise them, because they're living on God's mercy. The Lord is good, a word that is so frequently used, isn't it? But it does sum up and encompass all the attributes of the Lord. Good, a word, as I said, that we use so often, but somehow it doesn't seem to be able to fully describe all that the Lord is. But he is good. When you read the word of God, what do we read in the very first few chapters? When he created the world, it was good. A perfect creation. We know that sin has come and creation has fallen. But even so, don't you find yourselves at times you look out on that sunset and you can see the beauty, the glory of that sunset, a pale reflection of that perfect world, of the goodness of the Lord. Or perhaps you're walking in the countryside and you see those fresh spring flowers. You hear the birds singing and the creation round about, the world round about, looks so good and so perfect. But the world that the Lord created was better than that. His goodness is even better than that. And so we remember that the Lord is good in his creation, but good in all his works to men. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show us his handiwork. And so we know of the mercy of God because we're alive. We've enjoyed the goodness of God in creation. We've observed things in creation, and through observing them, we can see that our Creator has made them. Even in our own bodies, the psalmist reminds us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. When we stop and consider the workings of our own body, how everything works together, we can see the greatness and the goodness of our God. The Lord is good in all that he does. The psalmist says, thou art good and doest good. That is our Lord. He is good and does good to all. As Christ said, there is none good but one, that is God. That goodness, perhaps summed up when we say God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is holy, no wickedness, no imperfections in any of his attributes, in any of his dealings. He is righteous, he is merciful, but he will also judge sin. But all done in perfect righteousness, all done in his goodness. Take any one of God's attributes and put too much emphasis on it, and he'll cease to be the God that is good. The world likes to say that God is love. They will emphasize that and blow it up about everything. But if God is love and ignores sin, he ceases to be righteous. He ceases to be holy. And so we need to keep everything that we know of the Lord in that right balance, to realize that the Lord is good in all his dealings with men. God is light, and there's no darkness at all. James reminds us, doesn't he, if we need any other reason to praise the Lord, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All good gifts come from our good God. Salvation, as I've already said, is that supreme example of the Lord's goodness, of his wonderful works to the children of men. And so we've got no reason not to give thanks to the Lord, not to praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works, because we have experienced God's mercy. We know God's love. As I've said before, Moses saw God pass before him, proclaiming that he was the Lord, that he was merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundance in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will no means clear the guilty. The goodness of God is seen in his mercy, in his grace, but also in his judgment of sin. And so let us never presume on God's mercy, on God's goodness. We can only flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord ignored the guilty, as I've said, he'd cease to be good. And the goodness of God is in our trust in him. Nahum writes, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble." When we look at this psalm tonight, we will see how when we trust the Lord, he is good in that day of trouble. That we can trust the Lord in that day of trouble, in that time when affliction does come upon him. "And he that knoweth them, trust in him." We can trust in the Lord. And just some of the reasons why men do not praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. All men should, as we've seen. The verse repeats itself three times, implying that we need to be reminded of this. And so again, we need to take heed ourselves that we cease to praise and to give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works. But one of the reasons is unbelief, stubborn unbelief. The world doesn't believe that the Lord is good. They see creation, but they won't praise the Creator. They're blind to the Lord. The God of this world has blinded them. They won't acknowledge God is good because they will not consider the God of the Word, the God of the Bible. Instead, the world will make God in their own image. And the God in their own image is not good, because men are sinful creatures and men are fallen creatures. And so any God they make is not good, is marred and perfect. And so they have that reason in their own mind why they won't praise God. How often have you heard men cursing the Lord because of some disaster, because of some event in their life, be it large, like a death of a loved one, be it something small, that their car has broken down? They will say, "Where is God?" But they have never sought the Lord or praised him for his goodness. They can only curse God because of his mercy, that they're not consumed, that they're still alive. And as we read in Romans, very sober words in Romans chapter 1, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Men and women are without excuse. No excuse for not praising the Lord for his goodness. No excuse for not praising him for their wonderful works. But no excuse for the ignorance. But alas, they're not only ignorant, because when you read on into Romans chapter 2, it says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we're sure the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which doest us thing, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, nor knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Not only will they ignore God and deny God, they despise God. And that is the wicked generation that we live in. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his works to men. As the psalmist said, and as I trust that everyone here has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Because those that have tasted, those that are redeemed, will indeed want to praise the Lord. In fact, they can do no other to praise him for his goodness and for his wonderful works. And in giving thanks unto God, let us remember that we're glorifying our God. It's the one way that we can glorify and magnify his great and holy name. You remember the lepers that were healed, and they all rush off back to their villages. But we read, and one of them, when he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face and at his feet, giving thanks. That leper that was healed, that was cleansed, that was able to return to his family, turned round and glorified God by giving thanks. And it's our heart's desire that we glorify God. And so we can glorify God in giving thanks. We can praise him for his goodness and for his wonderful works. And so as we close, let us remember to thank the Lord every day for his goodness towards us, for those things that we do so often take for granted. Let us thank the Lord for the peaceful land we live in, that we have a church we can meet, that we can hear his word proclaimed, that we have gainful employment. As I said, those everyday blessings. Let us thank the Lord for his mercy, because it's new every morning. We can thank the Lord for his redemption. We should be a people that is always about giving thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen.